With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Spring, Missouri. This is the second Sunday in Lent, and our hymns are 586, 708, 673, 748, 725, and 748. Pastor Peter Kirby is our pastor. His sermon is Heavenly Citizenship. He's taken from Acts 3, verse 17, and verse 1.
Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship at Emmanuel. A special welcome to any who may be visiting with us here today. I'm Pastor Peter Kirby. I work with President Lee Hagan at the District Office for Missouri as Director of Congregational Services. I've been working with the congregation already as a part of the call survey that you did back in February, as part of your call process. So it's good to join you for worship today. And to help lead on this second Sunday in Lent. Today we're going to focus on the challenge of living as citizens of heaven, but here on this earth. So our sermon will focus on the epistle reading today from Philippians 3 and 4, and that will kind of form the theme of our lessons and our hymnody this day. We'll follow the order of worship as printed in your bulletins, and we begin with hymn number 586, Preach You the Word.
Thank you.
Let us stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Jesus Christ, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak responsibly the introit. For zeal for your house has consumed me. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. For zeal for your house has consumed me. You.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from every evil thought that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this second Sunday in Lent is taken from Jeremiah chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3 and 4. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you again even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the triune God using the Apostles' Creed. You'll find the words inside the back cover of your hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with our hymn of the day, 708 in your hymnals, "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart." Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The text for the message is our epistle reading from Philippians 3 and 4, where St. Paul writes, "For many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Thus far the text. Have you ever had the experience of living away from your home area, perhaps for military service, or a work assignment, or going away for college? It can be a hard thing to be away from home, especially if it was time in a foreign country where they speak a different language from you and have different customs. That can give us an experience of what Paul is talking about in this text. As foreigners in this world, we should never feel as if we are completely comfortable and at home on this earth. We live here for now, but we do not belong here. Our home is with our Father in his heavenly kingdom. In fact, as foreigners in this world, we should also view the ways of this world as somewhat foreign to us. This is what Paul wanted the congregation at Philippi to know as he wrote this letter to them. Made citizens of God's kingdom by his grace, we resist the temptations of this world, and we anxiously await our Savior and our heavenly homeland. First of all, in the text, Paul encourages us to imitate him, an example of heavenly citizenship, when he encourages us, "Brothers, join in imitating me." He does not encourage us to imitate the Paul who had been a Pharisee, a legalist, zealous and exemplary in behavior, but captive to the law of sin. But he encourages us to imitate Paul, the new man, delivered and forgiven by Jesus Christ. And Paul wants the Philippians and us to be fellow imitators, which assumes in turn that he is imitating someone. While not stated here in this text, Paul is imitating Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." He wants them to conduct their lives as he conducts his. That is, imitating Christ, and thus they are fellow imitators. For there are basically two choices about how we conduct our lives in this world, either as an imitator of Christ or as an enemy of Christ. The result, the end, he says, of conducting one's life as an enemy of Christ is destruction. Paul is well aware that many have made this choice, and he weeps over them. It was not his desire that they live as enemies of Christ, and thus endanger their spiritual welfare. But he speaks of the reality of that result among those around him. When ancient Rome established colonies in distant lands, they sent citizens to create miniature versions of Rome in that place, with Roman laws and architecture and culture. These colonies transformed their surroundings while maintaining their Roman identity. Paul, writing to the Philippians who lived in such a Roman colony, borrowed this familiar concept when he wrote to them, "Our citizenship is in heaven." The church is heaven's colony here on this earth, not withdrawing from society, but transforming the society by living according to heaven's values in this place. Unfortunately, though, even heaven's citizens can be tempted to worldliness. That is his warning. All Christian examples are not created equal. We must be careful of those who claim to be Christians, but who have taken their mind off of their heavenly citizenship and begun to desire earthly things. Paul speaks first of those whose God is their belly. There are many within Christianity today who are preaching the prosperity gospel, and they are wise to the ways of the world. They're using satellite and cable television in order to broadcast their versions of Christianity to a very receptive American and worldwide audience. Evangelists such as Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, and many of the preachers on Trinity Broadcasting Network are preaching an alluring message about how God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. If you buy this book and send me your money, you can have your best life now, they promise. It all sounds so enticing that we want to believe it. God wants what's best for me, and therefore he wants what I want, we reason. People go off following these preachers whose God is their belly, but eventually those people end up in disappointment. Their message does not pan out, no matter how many different wrappings they wrap it in. People go off seeking prosperity, but then they don't get rich. They're not always healthy as Christians. They don't get the quick fixes to the problems that they are looking for. And when they find that it doesn't work that way, we hope that they come back to the true and consistent gospel. Here at Emmanuel, we speak the truth of the cross of Christ. Not every Christian who follows Jesus will be prosperous and healthy, but Jesus is still worth following with our love and attention. There's also a segment of Christianity whose glory is in their shame. More and more mainline Christian churches are condoning what the Bible clearly calls sin. They are so culturally adaptive that they cannot see a difference between the church and the culture. You contemplate a sin, homosexuality, divorce, abortion, and then you turn to your church to see what they say about it. And your church tells you that it is okay, so they are complicit in the sin that you pursue. They glory in things of which we should be ashamed as Christians, and so they lead their members down the road to destruction. And it is to these churches that the media turns for a Christian view on these issues. But the media does not want to hear the truth of God's word. They want to have a rubber stamp from the church on what it is that their sinful hearts are calling them to do. But as Christians, we do not take our spiritual guidance from the culture around us. Our citizenship is in heaven above, and it is here that we listen for the voice of Christ, our Master and Savior. Our teaching in Emmanuel is based on God's word alone. And if God calls some action a sin in his word, we cannot turn away from his word and glory in our shame. We cannot use the example of other Christians to justify our behavior. The proper way to deal with sin is not to condone it, not to make it culturally normal, but to repent of it, confess it, turn from it, and seek to live each day in holiness before God. Now you may say, Pastor, it's not right for you to name names of other Christians or churches and judge them. But that is exactly what Paul is doing in this text. He warns even with tears about those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He warns about them that their end is destruction. So what does Paul say is the danger of following those whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame? The problem is that they can become secure in their sins, and thus some citizens of heaven can fall away from the truth. And by following them, we too can be led astray. A missionary who had lived overseas for decades returned to his home country only to find out at the border that his passport had expired. He was briefly detained there until his identity could be verified. And so later he remarked, for hours I felt like I belonged nowhere, rejected by the country that I was entering, and yet no longer at home in the country that I'd left. It reminded me of our true situation as Christians. We carry the passport of heaven as we live as foreigners in this world. We should never be too comfortable here because our citizenship lies elsewhere. For God has made us heavenly citizens who wait anxiously for our Savior's return. As Paul says in the text, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. We are not ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ, of the sufferings that we may bear in this world, because they are helping us to take hold of our heavenly citizenship and the one who will come from heaven to transform our lowly, broken bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. God is at work in the midst of our self-denial and suffering. Consider an example of Jeremiah in the Old Testament reading today. The people of Jerusalem persecuted him. They called for his death because he was proclaiming God's word to them clearly. But Jeremiah stood on the truth and suffered for God, even giving his own life over into their hands, because he was focused on being obedient to God and his truth and not conforming to the world. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, has opened heaven to us by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, by the way of suffering that he walked on the way to the cross. By grace, God has made us citizens of heaven through holy baptism. You have witnessed infants and children of this congregation come into God's kingdom in the waters of holy baptism. They have now become, through that baptism, citizens of the heavenly kingdom. As we have witnessed their baptism, it puts us in mind of our own baptisms, how at some time in the past we have been rescued from following the ways of this world and brought into the kingdom of God's Son through the waters of holy baptism. Baptism was a one-time event for each of us, but there is a day-to-day living out of the significance of our baptism in our lives. Each day we remember that in baptism we have died to sin and we have been raised to new life with Jesus Christ. We don't seek to be conformed to the sinful ways of this world. We seek to learn the truth of God's word and live holy lives according to his will. And as heaven citizens, we anxiously await the return of our Lord Jesus. We occupy our minds with heavenly thoughts through our attendance at worship, through devotions and Bible study and prayer. So what does a life look like that is imitating Christ? First, we have a single-minded pursuit of the Father's will. We see it in the way Jesus treats other people in his public ministry, by forgiving them unconditionally. And we eat of heavenly food in the Lord's Supper. One nice thing about living near a big city is that you have access to all kinds of cultural food. Each culture has its own unique foods, and eating the food is a way to celebrate and participate in that culture. And that is what we do here every Sunday morning. Since our home, true homeland is heaven, our congregation celebrates our heavenly cultural identity by eating of the heavenly food. We do this whenever we receive the Lord's Supper. Eating this heavenly food reminds us of who we are. We are sinners forgiven by the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. This heavenly food not only reminds us of who we are, but it also reminds us of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. This food not only reminds us of our cultural identity, but it also creates that identity within us. For as often as we eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord, our minds are set upon heavenly things. Our thoughts are directed to the sacrifice of Christ. Our faith in him is renewed, and our sins are forgiven. Eating the food of our heavenly homeland, we celebrate the fact that we will one day live there with God for all eternity and share with him in the feast that never ends. Paul encourages at the end of the text, "Stand firm thus in the Lord." We stand firm to the end, anxiously awaiting the transformation of our bodies to one day be like his glorious body. As heavenly citizens, we endure our time on this earth and long for the day when our heavenly Father will take us home to be with him. As foreigners who live for news and mail and word from our home country, we count down the days until we set foot in the land that will be the ultimate home for each of us. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we receive our offering to the Lord, followed by the offertory. Let us stand for the offertory. In our prayers today, we give thanks with Matthew and Haley Vogelsmeyer for the birth of a son this past week, Miles J., and we pray for other members of our congregation who are ailing, along with our family and friends. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember the congregations of your church, O Lord, which you have purchased with the holy blood of your Son. Strengthen and defend all pastors and church workers, giving them every good gift as they attend to your people. We also pray, Lord, that you would hear and answer our prayers to send another pastor to serve in this place. Cause us rightly to fear your anger and rejoice in your redemption. Lord, in your mercy, remember us in a world convulsed by the wages of sin. As we watch nations falter, remind us that our eternal citizenship is in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, who will subject all things to himself. As we watch our own bodies fail, remind us that Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Lord, in your mercy, remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and companionship to those who live alone, and foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places to worship our bellies, glory and shame, or set our minds on earthly things, but a refuge while here and a foretaste of our heavenly home. We also give you thanks for the birth of this healthy baby boy, Miles J., to his parents, Matthew and Haley. We pray that you would help them to recover from the birth and keep him in your care until such time as he enters your family through the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy, remember our nation and those you have placed in authority, O Lord. Give them wisdom and integrity, and grant that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Lord, in your mercy, remember the sick and afflicted, O Lord, especially Carol, Randy, Stanley, Nolan, Mary, and Lindsay, and all those among our family and friends who are ailing at this time. Deliver them for the sake of Christ, who cast out demons and performed cures on his way to the cross. Strengthen their faith to hold fast to him who rose again to raise them also. Lord, in your mercy, remember this household of faith, O Lord, and gather us together at your altar as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Unite us in true confession of your word, sincere repentance for our sins, and joyful confidence in your Son's body and blood for our forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, remember us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, who suffered the reproach of mankind as he bore our sins to the cross. Strengthen us gladly to bear reproach in your name and to declare your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take ye, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn is 728 in your hymnals, How Firm a Foundation.